Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday. It's the 16th of April, 2018. It's 11 o'clock. We are going out live on Channel Radio at channelradio.co.uk/2. And for those of you out there that are listening to the show this morning, good morning. I hope you had a great weekend. So on this morning's show, we have some interesting information to give to you. We're going to be talking about things like insulin, what it is, what it does, how it affects your body, and also visceral fat. Again, what it is, what it does, how to identify it, and what to do about it. I also have a guest on with me this morning. We have the lovely Victoria Sheridan from The Secret Calm. Good morning, Victoria.
Hello, Neil.
It's great to have you on the show this morning. And we're going to be finding out more about what Victoria does in about 15 minutes or so. So stay tuned as we find out more about Victoria's skills and how she might be able to help you. As per normal, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. So if you can go onto Twitter, go to at Health Radio Show and go to the Twitter feed and say hello. Ask for a shout out. If you've got any announcements you'd like me to mention on air, I'll be happy to do so. So that's twitter.com. /Health Radio Show and say hello. You can also follow the show's Facebook page. If you search Health Matters Radio Show, there's all the show information there too. We've got music from 1981 today as well. So we've got some great songs from Adam and Yants, The Specials, Visage, and also Duran Duran to wrap up the show at 12 o'clock. So before we start, just to reiterate the purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show. So the show is designed to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform and enlighten you in ways that you might improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content of the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, you should speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist first. All content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience and often my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So, with the small print out of the way, let's have a chat about visceral fat. Now, I was networking on Friday with a good friend of mine called Ertash, and good morning, Ertash, if you're listening, and he brought up the subject of visceral fat. And actually, visceral fat is a really, really important subject to cover because most people don't understand what it is, what it does, and also the impact it has on the body and the relation of high levels of visceral fat to type 2 diabetes. So when we talk about body fat, we have two main stores of body fat. The first is the subcutaneous. So essentially it is your wobbly bits, if you like. And then we have fat that's stored within the body cavity, which is where your organs sit. Now, body fat, whilst it might not, or subcutaneous fat, whilst it not might not be too attractive in certain cases, it doesn't actually do a huge amount of damage to your body unless it gets to excessive amounts. But visceral fat, so fat around the organs, can cause a lot of long-term health implications. And as I mentioned, one of those can be type 2 diabetes. What's more insidious is not only can you have high levels of fat around the organs, you can actually have high levels of fat inside the organs too. And that's when it gets really dangerous because if you get fat inside the liver and fat inside the pancreas, it can cause all sorts of health implications. So, as I mentioned, we have fat around the body and fat inside the body. And if you have a growing belly, and you don't need to be overly fat as a person, but if you notice that you have a bit of a belly going on, if you like, then that can be the first indication that your body is storing fat viscerally and not so much subcutaneously. And again, that's where the danger lies. And this visceral fat is also known as intra-abdominal fat. So it is very well known, and there's a lot of research papers out there at the moment that have suggested that the link between high levels of visceral fat and type 2 diabetes is quite strong, because high levels of visceral fat is associated with insulin resistance. And we're going to come on to insulin a bit later in the show. And insulin resistance can lead to a condition called glucose intolerance. And then glucose intolerance in time can lead on to full-blown type 2 diabetes. And there's also some interesting research that has suggested that this visceral fat and this fat around the organs also secrete a protein called retinol binding protein 4, or RBP4, and that has also been shown to increase insulin resistance as well. So you can see, if you're starting to get a bit of a belly on, and maybe you're not overly fat yourself, but your belly is growing bigger, then that can be a real indicator that you are starting to develop visceral fat. And obviously there are some serious health implications, not just type 2 diabetes, but also heart disease, breast cancer, colorectal cancer, and also dementia is linked to high levels of visceral fat. So how can you tell if you've got high levels of visceral fat? Well, the first indicator is if you have a bit of a belly. Now, as a guide, and I do stress this is only a guide, your waistline, so your waistline around your belly button, should be less than half of your height. So if you're 6 foot tall, which is 72 inches, then your waistline shouldn't be more than 36 inches. That is only a very rough guide, but it's a good indicator at the first port of call as to whether or not for your height you're carrying too much fat inside your body cavity. Other ways that you can check whether you've got excess visceral fat. Well, one of the most definitive ways is to have an MRI scan. Now, not many of us have MRI scans in our bedrooms or MRI machines. So it's not a cheap procedure, and it's normally done as part of another procedure if you do have an MRI scan. But another way to check as well is to get yourself a body composition machine. Now, for those of you out there that know me and perhaps are my clients, you'll know that I do have a body composition machine. And one of the things that we do measure is visceral fat. And the reason we measure visceral fat is because it is so dangerous if it gets up to high levels. So visceral fat, yes, you know, there are two types. So just remember, there's subcutaneous, which is the fat you can see, and there's visceral, which is the fat that you can't see. And overall body size is not always a good indicator of whether or not you're carrying visceral fat, you're carrying fat around the organs. And as I mentioned, if you're carrying fat around the organs, you could be carrying fat inside the organs. And when you carry fat inside the organs, then that can have a massive impact on the way those organs function. So if you'd like more information about visceral fat, or you'd like to have a chat to me, as usual, you can contact me through the show page, either on Facebook or on Twitter. Or if you would prefer, you can contact me direct via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.com. .co.uk. Drop me a line, send me an email, give me a call, and we'll have a chat if I can be of any help to you. So after the short song break that we're going to be going into now, we'll be having a chat with our special guest this morning, Victoria from The Secret Calm. So stay tuned.
Is a blue.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show on Monday, the 16th of April, 2018. I hope you are all keeping very well this morning. And just a quick reminder of the show's Twitter feed, which is at Health Radio Show. So go to Twitter, drop me a line, say hello. If you want a shout out, if you'd like me to give you a mention, I would be happy to do so. So before we go on to have a chat with our guest this morning, Victoria Sheridan, just a couple of quick announcements. Had an email from a good friend of mine, Anya Jeffries. If you remember, Anya came on the show a few shows ago. And Anya's running a big event on this Friday, the 20th of April in Tunbridge Wells. And Anya's asked me to give a mention about the event and also the fact that she is giving away 10 complimentary tickets to the first 10 listeners who email her directly. And her email address is nextstepmentor. So nextstepmentor123@gmail.com. Drop Anya a line and get your free tickets to her event. It's a full-day event this coming Friday, the 20th of April in Tunbridge Wells. She has 50 speakers, so 50 international speakers in all sorts of different areas. So you've got people that are talking about health, mental health, abuse, health, well-being, business strategies. There's the whole range there of things to listen to, and I'm sure that there'll be something there that you certainly can take away. Her website address is www.womenworkevents.com, and again, drop Anya an email at nextstepmentor123@gmail.com and grab your free tickets. The doors open from 8:30 this coming Friday in Tunbridge Wells at the Solomon's Estate. And the first speaker kicks off at 9:30. So there's a quick shout out for Anya. And I have a few more mentions, and I will give you guys a quick shout out after the next song. So before then, we're going to talk to have a chat with our special guest this morning, Victoria Sheridan from The Secret Calm. Good morning, Victoria. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's a lovely day.
It's lovely out there, isn't it? Spring has indeed sprung, or is that just tempting fate, maybe? But apparently we're in for a heat wave this week, so that would be fantastic. So we're going to find out more about what Victoria does, how she got into doing what she's doing, and more importantly, how you might be able to identify with some of the things that perhaps she talks about, and perhaps find some common ground where maybe making contact with Victoria might be helpful to you. So, Victoria, let's start right at the beginning. What is your background, and how did you get into doing what you're doing at the moment?
Okay, well, I've been a teacher and a lecturer in universities and college for a number of years, working with health and social care and child development. So I've lived a very stressful life and came to an age where I needed to remove myself from that. And it was difficult because the government then put another 6-7 years on my leaving retirement age.
Oh, right, yes.
So I felt it. And like a lot of women at the time, it was kind of like, oh, we hadn't planned mentally, financially or emotionally for the changes and having to stay in high-pressure jobs as we're getting older. So once I removed myself and resigned and found myself building another business, then I decided that what I'd like to do, what I'd really love to do, is help other people, other women in particular, who are in that position that I've just come out of. And I'd like to inspire them and raise their hopes and show them that it's not a downward hill. It's actually an upward hill. It's wonderful.
So what ages of women in particular, and what's the common age for you?
Yeah, starting about 50, 52, mm-hmm. 53, and they start to really think about their pensions and are they going to survive the changes in their work mode. And sometimes they're businesswomen, you know, they've been very successful women, mm-hmm. and it's changing. And what do they do? And what's their vision? It's not usually very positive. And once they have retired, women who have retired, after a short period of time, start thinking, well, what's the meaning of my life? Am I just going to be a grandmother?
Yeah.
Am I going to start another business? Am I going to get another job? Do I want interviews? No.
It is interesting because I think we're kind of conditioned. Certainly, I mean, I've read a lot of books, and we talk about the Industrial Revolution, and then we talk about the entrepreneurial revolution, and we're very much conditioned to do the whole go to school, get a job, work 40 years, retire at 65 or a bit later as it is now, and then kind of that's it. And I don't know about you, but I find that a little bit scary, where you think, well, I've worked all my life, I've built up my career, I've built up my profile, my profession, and it almost comes to us, we're kind of educated that it should come to a stop. And I think opening people's eyes to say, actually, retirement isn't the end. It's the beginning of a whole new chapter, isn't it?
It is. And what I say to people is, I retired from education.
Yes.
But I'm not retired, because some people have a very fixed view that you actually just sit down and play golf all day or just shop around.
Yes.
But what happens is that we're intelligent people. We have expectations of life and we want to maintain a certain lifestyle.
Yeah.
And some people start off quite well, but it doesn't always sustain. And they often get quite worried about the financial situation. And what's interesting about women in particular, the reason I work with women isn't just because I am one. It's because they're often stretched between other considerations and demands placed on them from grandchildren and aging parents.
Yeah.
And also the expectation that they should just get on and let everyone else do it for them, and they should just sit back, and they don't want to. I mean, some people do, so I don't want to work with those. But basically, if that's what you want to do, that's wonderful. And for men as well, some men retire with good pensions, but there are many that are, you know, thriving, successful women who want something more, you know, and they've got longevity.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a long life, and we don't have to be unhealthy. Hence your show.
Exactly. It's about adding, what's the saying? Adding life to years, not just years to life.
Yes.
I love that phrase. Yes. And I think you made a really interesting point there, and I really hadn't thought about it that way, because my mum kind of falls into that category of that sort of age of lady. And, you know, when you get to your mid-60s, you are in that position where you have children and you have grandchildren and you still perhaps have parents as well. And that's very demanding, I would think. If you're dealing with elderly parents and you're also having to deal with the responsibilities of your grown up children and their children as well, the demands of that must be quite significant.
There are several things in that, actually, Neil. One of the things is that we are expected to stay young. We are expected to look 20 years younger, to dress 20 years younger, to have the same vitality and to be able to do everything. The superwoman is now an older woman. And the stress of actually making decisions about relocation, retirement, do you go for another job, don't you? Have you got enough pension? Lots of people are divorcing after 50,
yeah,
and they're going into other relationships and new relationships. And I like to think of us as being teenagers. We're just like teenagers. We have the world in front of us. We have so many options and opportunities and freedom. But the mindset of most people isn't like that. And of course, the stress is where it starts, and that stress affects your health. It affects your eating habits. Most of the people I work with have sleep problems, mm-hmm. and you cannot make clear decisions when you're stressed. So the first point of contact with me is usually when they're anxious and stressed and can't see a way forward. And that's why I'm on a mission to inspire.
Excellent, excellent.
Teenagers.
Teenager, I do like that. I like that. Okay, so so tell me about the ways that you can help people specifically, and tell me about your rejuvenating techniques that you've mentioned.
Yeah, well, first of all, we need to replenish. Mm-hmm. We need to relax, relax, replenish and rejuvenate. So relax is to deal with the stress and the pain points and to actually deal with that sleep problem, to get clarity and to be able to think positively. And so I work with everyone on their body first, mm-hmm. their dietary needs and their sleep patterns, and just relaxing their body. And then think about the emotions. Where are they emotionally, and where are they looking for their fulfillment? What is their vision of their happiness in the future? So I work one-to-one, and then we work through the mindset. And we work through NLP, other techniques for looking at visualization, hypnotherapy, different techniques to open the mind and make it more positive, so that if you're out there and you're feeling that way, then in one session you can actually learn some secret techniques that nobody knows that you're using in a one-to-one session. And it can be on Zoom, it can be virtual, mm-hmm. but the first session empowers you with ways to change your mindset, feel happier, and to actually change your physical stress so that you do not feel the same afterwards.
So how would people, because I'm a great believer that we don't know what we don't know. So if we take a lady, gets at 65, she's retiring, she's a grandmother, she also has elderly parents. How would that particular lady identify maybe that there is something else in life? Is there a moment where people go, actually, there's got to be more? Because we are educated that retirement, you know, we are kind of put out to field, and for the next 10, 20, 30 years, you're just bumbling around, spending your pension, waiting for the inevitable. Do you get women that just go, actually, there's got to be more in life? They want to stay with their family, or they want to stay with their husband. It's not having more in life in terms of having huge changes, like a Shirley Valentine moment, for example. But they get to the point where they go, actually, there's something missing.
That's it precisely. But what really triggers it is fear. It's okay. Fear of being ill, premature aging, mm-hmm. looking washed up, feeling washed up, and fear of not being noticed as people start to ignore what you say, dismiss what you say, walk past you in the street. If you are a businesswoman, an entrepreneur, and you may still have your company, then still people are overriding your decisions or dismissing what you say. And there's a strong feeling that women feel that they're just going to be washed up and used. And the fear factor comes in. So they worry about their health and their finances. How will they cope if their partner dies? How will they cope with their health? How will they even get their hair and nails done in the future? You know, so there's fear, but the fear translates into extreme anxiety or stress, palpitations and lack of sleep. And so that makes them look tired.
Yeah.
That makes them feel tired and they don't eat properly.
And then that's a vicious cycle,
isn't it? It is. And of course, then the mind goes downward, and what's the point? And then ultimately, I like to work with people who've got to the point where they think, no, this isn't right. I used to be vibrant. I used to be successful. I am a successful person. I want to be again. I want to make a difference in life. I want a legacy to leave to my children. Yep. I want a legacy to leave to the world. Yep. And women are very, very inspired.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So you mentioned that the techniques that you use are not specifically hypnotherapy-based. But obviously NLP plays a big part in that. So let's focus on the positives now. So we've obviously helped women to identify maybe the things that are not so great in their life that they might want to change. So there was the anxiousness about financial security, health, lifestyle changes, aging, and illness and what have you. So where can you take your clients? How do your services help people? What are the positives? What journey can you take them on? Where can you lead them to?
Well, what happens is after you've become relaxed and your mind is freed, you can actually become quite imaginative and get in touch with your true nature. So I often take people back to their childhood and say to them, and I'll say to your audience, what did you want to do when you were a child? What were your innate talents and your dreams? And you may not be able to be a ballet dancer, but maybe you could take up ballet.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you wanted to play guitar. Maybe you took up guitar and gave it up for your career. Maybe you wanted to be a musician. Mm. There's still things that you could do and translate into a career in this later stage. So what happens is they start to open their minds to opportunities and they begin to be happier. So therefore, they start to think for themselves. And coaching, because I'm a coach, coaching is enabling someone to find their own answers. I'm not going to feed them with loads of ideas. Mm. They're going to just become awakened. And the outcome is that so many of my clients have written lovely testimonials, which are on the website, and continue to tell me and feedback to me that their life has changed and they've made some radical choices and not always given up things, but enhanced things and brought them into their lives. And many women, I don't know if you know this, but 80% of the new startups in Kent are women over 50.
Oh, really? No, because, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's a statistic that's very interesting because you can turn a hobby into or a business or something that you used to think about can be turned into a monetary format so that you can actually assist in your financial situation.
Yeah.
And if you've always been successful, you want to be successful again.
Yes.
And that's the outcome. It's releasing the mind, the body and the heart to away from that mindset and conditioning that you were talking about earlier so that we can actually become empowered to, and women make their own decisions again. And once a woman stands up, you know, women take notice. Not women, people take notice.
Yes.
It's when she gives up that she loses it.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraging them. And I do see it. They actually stand up in my room. They actually stand up differently. Their physical presence is different. Their voice is different.
And then they also empower those around them as well, don't they?
Definitely. Mm. And they have a very, very positive influence on their grandchildren.
Yeah.
And their role models for their own daughters.
Fabulous. Fantastic. So what successes have you had with clients? Have you got one example that you can mention?
Well, there's one lady in particular. She was fantastic. She was a very successful businesswoman. She'd had multiple businesses, earned millions of pounds, brought billions of pounds through her businesses. But she was, when I met her, she was coming up to 70. And she'd got everything. She'd been everywhere, but she needed a new challenge. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to downsize, if you like. She wanted to close off some of her businesses and take the cash and start thinking about her future. But she still wanted to make a difference. And so ultimately, using the techniques, what she's done is she's practiced, because you have to practice all the things I teach and show you. And basically she got inspired and all her panic attacks stopped and all the different feelings, the sleeplessness stopped. And basically she became inspired. And what she's done is she's opened a retreat. She's actually got a retreat in Spain that she's opened. So she can retire,
mm-hmm.
but she's still got a business.
Fantastic.
And she's really empowering other women as well
yeah.
to do that. But the important thing is she's still young, beautiful at heart, and she looks fantastic, but she gives people permission to take time out for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do as well, is taking time out.
Yeah. I think we're so busy helping other people. And to touch on your point, their age is just a number.
It is. And I really don't want us to keep trying to be 20 years younger.
No.
Let's just be happy with our age.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it.
Indeed. Indeed. So what are your plans for this year? You mentioned that you've got an event coming up soon.
Well, yes, there's a lot on. And in Kensington, there's a beautiful wellbeing event. We've got loads of speakers and stall holders. We've got people coming from across the world. We're at Kensington High Street on Saturday, the 28th of April. Now, I've actually got a deal as well, so it's great because I knew I was coming on today, so I've got 20 free tickets if somebody wants to. I've made the arrangement this morning with some of the organisers. I'm not the main organiser, but I am helping promote it.
Right.
And I said, can I have 20 tickets? They said, yes.
Excellent.
But it's literally get off the tube at Kensington High Street, turn left, you're there at the Holiday Inn. on the 28th. And all the information is on my website or on Eventbrite.
Okay. So what's your website address, just so people can make a note of that?
Yep, the website address is the usual www, which I think is wings, wings and wings, thesecretcalm.com.
Thesecretcalm.com.
Thesecretcalm.com, and I can guarantee that you'll be calm and nobody else will know what you're doing to achieve that calm, because I've got some secret techniques to show you that you can use in public and nobody knows.
Brilliant. Excellent. So just to backtrack one moment to your services. So in a nutshell, who would be your ideal client? Who out there listening to the show can identify with a particular issue that they've got? Who would be the person that you would want to come to you?
Usually I'm looking at a lady who has been successful, somebody who's already been in touch with her power, who's now seeing it disappearing and actually maybe lacking sleep and feeling very stressed and fearful for the future. But mm-hmm. there's that innate part of her that's waking up and says, hold on, I want more. I want more, but I need help with this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so somebody over 55 usually. They don't have to be as old as 60 or 70, but the beginnings start in the 50s. And, yeah, I'm here for you.
So how do you work? So if someone makes contact with you, do you do – I mean, I offer a thing called a discovery session where I would just have a chat to someone over the phone, completely free of charge, just to establish firstly if I can help them and if I am the right person to help them. Do you do a similar thing? Do you offer a telephone conversation first?
Exactly. The main reason is that I'm very curious and I really want to help. So I think just a nice relaxed conversation, just to find out whether we like each other and whether we are a good fit for each other and whether I can help you. And also just to give you a chance to offload as well. Sometimes people just need clarity and need to hear it. I have got time to devote that time to people if they want that. Other people, well, you can just phone in and come in and I'll talk to you on the phone, but you can come along straight away if you make a decision that that's what you need and want.
Yeah.
A lot of women I work with are very decisive. They are desperate and they think, right, that's it. This is Victoria. I've just heard her speak. I'm going to call her now.
So actually making that decision.
Yes.
I think that's the first step, isn't it?
Because the confusion lies in all the other decisions that you have to make. But you know when you're listening to someone talk whether they resonate with you.
Yeah.
And so this is why radio is such a good opportunity. But if anybody does want just a friendly chat for clarity, then I'm happy to do that.
Fantastic. So your points of contact, so your telephone number and your website. So your telephone number is 01474.
01474
yep.
338870.
Okay, and we've said your website address is www.thesecretcalm.com. What's your Facebook page?
Oh, it's the same, just Facebook groups, Facebook page, and it's The Secret Calm.
If people go to Facebook and search The Secret Calm,
yes,
they'll be able to find you.
Yes, and they can go to my site, Victoria Sheridan. So I'm all over the social media, as everybody is. So if you Google me, I come up. If you actually go into Google and not Yahoo or somewhere else, if you just go to Google Victoria Sheridan, you find loads of stuff that I've been involved in.
Thank you very much, Victoria. Thank you for coming on the show this morning. You can listen again to the show if you go to my website, which is i-nutrition.co.uk. Click on the media page. You can listen to this show and previous shows. And if you go to iTunes, if you have an Apple device, and you search Health Matters Radio Show, this show will be uploaded later on today, and you can listen to Victoria's interview again. So thank you again, Victoria. And after the break, we're going to have a chat about insulin, what it does, and how you can control it.
Show spirit as he turns to hide. pluie comme un été anglais, entend les notes d'une chanson lointaine, sortant de derrière un poster, espérant que la vie ne fût aussi longue.
Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show. That was Visage and Fade to Grey from 1981. During the break, Victoria and I were talking about stress. And obviously the age group that Victoria is targeting, and diabetes is a big issue. Type 2 diabetes in particular is a big issue for women of that age group, and stress plays a big part of that. And coincidentally, we're going to chat in a moment about insulin and obviously the relation between insulin, your blood sugars, and type 2 diabetes. So it all kind of falls into place there. Just a quick reminder, if you'd like to tweet into the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. If you'd like a shout out, a mention, or you'd like me to announce anything on air, I would be happy to do so. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me privately, you can do so through my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So a couple of shout outs. Ben, my good friend Ben Leach from BLIT Solutions. He provides IT coverage and machinery and servicing across Kent. Good to hear from you, Ben. Cam Winchester. Cam is an acupuncturist, and she was on my show a few shows ago. You can listen back, as I mentioned, on iTunes or via my website. And Cam's put, hi from Cam, acupuncturist in Eden. She's busy working with clients all day, but she will listen a bit later on. So that's absolutely cool. And Cam's Twitter feed is at Cam, K-A-M underscore acupuncture. So at Cam underscore acupuncture. And also had a tweet in from James, my good friend James Sargent at Digital Nachos. Good to hear from you, James. Glad you're listening to the show this morning. And James's or Digital Nachos Twitter feed is at Digital Nachos, N-A-C-H-O-S, at Digital Nachos. And it's good to have you listening today, James. And if you'd like me to give you a shout out on the show, then there is still time. Go to Twitter and find at Health Radio Show. So for the next five minutes or so, we're going to have a quick chat about insulin. Now, for those of you who know me, you'll know that my specialist field is type 2 diabetes, the management, identification, and potential reversal. And I'm on a mission at the moment, and this is where maybe you can help me. I'm on a mission over the next 10 years to change the lives of 100 million people. Now, that sounds like a huge goal. But at the moment, there are 500 million people and growing with type 2 diabetes in this in the world. And there's nearly 4.5 to 5 million just in this country alone. And the problem is type 2 diabetes goes unidentified for a long period of time before the symptoms become manifest. And by the time the symptoms become manifest, you're normally in a bit of trouble already. So my goal is to educate people. So you can help me by just getting the word out about this show, because we will talk about health matters and general health as we go through different shows and as the show progresses. But I'm going to spend some time each show just to chat about diabetes, because it really is a driver of mine to help educate people, to try to help them either prevent it from happening in the first place or to manage it and potentially reverse it if they have it already. So one of the issues, one of the interactors with type 2 diabetes is a hormone called insulin. Now, if you don't know what a hormone is a regulatory substance which is produced by glands in the body. In this case, we're talking about the pancreas. And this is a fluid, a substance that actually calls cells to take action. So it tells cells what to do. So in the case of insulin, insulin is produced by the beta cells of the pancreas. And we are going to cover the alpha cells in next week's show. But today we're talking about the beta cells. And the beta cells produce insulin that helps us to regulate blood sugar. And we get an increase in blood sugar from the carbohydrates that we eat or that we drink. And it allows us to use the energy that's in those carbohydrates for our own use, for our own cell metabolism, for our own energy. And if we can't use that energy, so if we have a high carbohydrate diet or we eat sugary foods, then the body is naturally disposed to store that energy for future use. And that's part of our self-preservation mechanism, which works well in most cases. However, it can get out of control, and we're going to cover the reasons why that happens now. So if you have too much blood sugar, you have a condition called hyperglycemia. So hyper means too much. Or if it's too low, you have a condition called hypoglycemia. Now, for the most part, hyperglycemia or too much blood sugar is a bigger issue than hypo. Doesn't mean it's less serious, because hypoglycemia can be very, very serious indeed. But more people suffer with hyper, as in too much blood sugar, than they do from too low blood sugar. So your body has a condition called homeostasis. Homeostasis doesn't just relate to blood sugar. It relates to all systems in the body. And homeostasis is where your body tries to keep an equilibrium. So in the case of your blood, it tries to keep your blood sugar within a relatively tight window. So not too much and not too little. And insulin plays a massive part of that. Insulin also has a function when it comes to protein, but we'll cover that on a future show. So today, for the next few minutes, I'm going to have a quick chat about insulin and the relation and the correlation to the carbohydrates that we eat. So the cells in our body need sugar for energy. They need glucose. That's a natural part of our cell metabolism. But that glucose, that sugar, can't get into the cells directly. So as you start to eat food, carbohydrate-rich food, sugary-rich food, your blood sugar level starts to rise as your body absorbs those carbohydrates into the bloodstream. And that's when the beta cells of your pancreas are signaled to release insulin into your bloodstream. And if you like, insulin is the key to the lock. So on your body cells, you have receptors, insulin receptors, and insulin is the key that comes along, unlocks the receptor, unlocks the cell, and allows all that blood sugar to go into the cell and for the cell to then use that for energy to keep us alive. That is a perfectly normal natural process. So in addition to managing and regulating your blood sugar, your insulin is also responsible for energy storage. And we'll come on to energy storage in a moment. But just remember that if you haven't got diabetes, if you're non-diabetic, insulin will keep your blood sugars within a relatively tight range. We talk about millimoles per litre. And we can also talk about HbA1c, but we won't get technical at the moment. So if you eat a very high carbohydrate meal, or you have a very high sugar meal where the sugar gets into your bloodstream really quickly, insulin will get released. And that is part of the process of using the energy for your cells. Insulin also helps to store sugar in your liver in the form of glycogen. Which is stored glucose, which we can easily tap into at a later time if our sugar levels drop. And as I say, insulin also helps your body cells to take in all that energy. But as the blood sugar levels continue to rise, the pancreas secretes more and more insulin. So to give you an example, when we talk about this condition called homeostasis, the body likes to keep around 4 to 5 grams of sugar in the entire circulatory system at any one time. So if you imagine having a can of Coke, or you have a big bar of chocolate, or you have both at the same time, that can be anything up to 100 grams of sugar in one sitting. Now, bear in mind, your body only really wants around 5 grams at any one time. So you've consumed around 20 times what your body is happy to keep in its system. So it has to do something with this increase in blood sugar. And it does this through the secretion of insulin. Now, if you have quite an active life, and I don't advocate a high sugar diet anyway, but if you have quite an active life, your body will use some of that energy. But any of the energy that it can't use, and we know a basic law of physics is energy doesn't get destroyed, it just gets transferred from one form to another. If your body can't use that energy that's in your blood now, this increase in blood sugar, after a while it has to do something with it because it's quite dangerous to the body. So what it does is it actually sends the blood sugar, this increase in glucose, back to the liver, and the liver converts that glucose into fat. And then your body transports that fat around the body, not this time trying to find a cell for energy, but trying to find fat cells for storage. So the real lesson here is it isn't fat in our diet that makes us fat, okay? Saturated fats can be dangerous. It can cause heart issues and cardiovascular problems. And trans fats and hydrogenated fats are not particularly good for us. But unsaturated and polyunsaturated, the good fats, do not make us fat. It's excess carbohydrates that make us fat because they give us a big rush of energy. And if your body isn't going to use that energy, it has to do something with it to bring it back down to a safe range. And it does that through using insulin to push the glucose into the cells. Or if it can't push the glucose into the cells, if you're quite sedentary, then it will your liver will convert all that excess glucose into body fat. And that's how people get fat. So if you think of insulin as the storage hormone, so if there's more glucose than the body needs, then insulin helps the body to store the excess glucose either in the liver to be used at a later time, or in body fat cells to be used as energy at a later time. But the problem with body fat is the body does not give up fat easily. So once you've got it stored, getting rid of it is actually quite hard. So when we talk about insulin production, if you are pre-diabetic, if you have impaired glucose tolerance, if your body doesn't produce enough insulin, then obviously you are on the fast track there to type 2 diabetes. And type 2 diabetes is where your body either doesn't produce enough insulin, it still does produce it, but maybe not enough, or your cells are actually becoming resistant to the effects of insulin. So how do you stop insulin resistance? Well, if you continue to eat a high carb diet, a very sugary carb diet, then you really work your pancreas hard. It's producing insulin all the time to keep you in that safe range. And if you do that enough times, eventually your cells can become resistant to insulin. Your liver can fill up with fat, which can add to insulin resistance. And if you do that for long enough, you can end up with exhaustion of the pancreas, and then you have some serious issues where your pancreas just isn't working at all. So the takeaway here is you really need to get to grips with your diet. You really need to get to grips with the carbohydrates in your diet, and particularly the sugary carbohydrates. That way, if you haven't got type 2 diabetes at the moment, it's a great way to keep your insulin levels under control. If you are overweight, if you have some of the symptoms of type 2 diabetes, and we've mentioned those in the previous show, then please do take advice from your doctor. Go and have a blood sugar check. But also, high insulin levels and high blood glucose can contribute to things like high blood pressure, heart disease, and a thing called metabolic syndrome. So it's really important that you understand insulin, what it is, what it does. It's a hormone that tells your body to store glucose in the cells. And if it can't store glucose in the cells, there's a metabolic process that actually helps you to store body fat, which again is part of our natural self-defense mechanism, but isn't particularly healthy. It's what we do to survive. But taken to excess, it can lead to a lot of health issues as we progress. So that's the beta cells. That's insulin. Next week we're going to talk about glucagon. So glucagon is the antithesis of insulin. So on the one hand, you have insulin, which is the storage hormone, the fat storage hormone in particular, and glucagon is produced by the alpha cells of the pancreas, and that actually helps in fat burning. But that's too big a subject to cover this morning, so we will cover that on the next show. So hopefully there's some useful information there. So this morning we've covered the subject of insulin, what it is, what it does, how it affects the body, how it's a completely natural process, but taken to extremes can make us very, very ill indeed. We've covered visceral fat, and you'll recall that there are two types of body fat. We have subcutaneous, which is not particularly damaging, although not always attractive, and should be reduced where possible. And then we have the visceral fat, which is the fat inside and around the organs, which does have some very, very serious health implications. And we interviewed Victoria from The Secret Calm. And again, thank you for coming on the show this morning, Victoria.
Thank you, Neil. I enjoyed it.
And just to reiterate, Victoria's website is www.thesecretcalm.com. She has got those 20 free tickets for her event in London on the 28th of April. It's called the Make Your Life Work event. And if you go to thesecretcalm.com, there's a button on her webpage, on Victoria's webpage, where you can contact her to apply for those 20 free tickets. So the next Health Matters radio show is going to be broadcast live next Monday, which will be the 23rd of April. We have a special guest on. You'll have to wait and see who that guest is. But again, between shows, you can contact me via Twitter. The show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. You can contact me via Facebook. If you search Health Radio Show, you'll be able to find the show's Facebook page. Contact me via my website, i-nutrition.co.uk. And again, you can listen to this show and all previous shows either via my website on the media page or via iTunes if you search the Health Matters radio show. And I'm looking for guests for future shows, predominantly into May and June now. But if you'd like to come on the show, as Victoria has this morning, and use it as a platform to promote yourself and get the word out there about what you do and how you can help people, then please do contact me and we'll have a chat about you coming on the show. And finally, if I can help you individually with your health, particularly with weight loss and with the management of type 2 diabetes, contact me via my website and we'll have a chat. So until next Monday, thank you for listening. Hope you find you found the information useful. And I'll leave you with one more song from 1981. It's a classic by Adam and the Ants. I think it was his first hit, actually. It certainly was the first single that I bought back in 1981. It's Stand and Deliver. Until next time, goodbye.